RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Energy and Mineral Resource Department, ESDM, of Papua fine with Freeport Indonesia CEO resignation. Economy corrected due to smoke from forest land fires. Now the news in detail. Head of Energy and Mineral Resources Department, ESDM in province of Papua, Bangun Manurung, said the resignation of Freeport Indonesia CEO Maruf Samsudin will not cause issues for the Papua government that has been striving to get ownership of Freeport share. Currently, the government of Papua is striving to get ownership of Freeport share after 50 years operating in Papua. Previously, Papua Governor Lukas Nmb said Papua's participation as shareholder in Freeport must be decided this year. Bangun claimed he does not know the reason why Ma'ruf stepped down from his position. Ma'ruf only worked 3 months as the CEO of Freeport Indonesia. Bangun rarely communicated with Ma'ruf related to Papua's share negotiation of the U.S. mining company. Bangun told Tempo on Monday, January 18, 2016, that what's important is that Freeport Indonesia has the duty and obligation according to a work contract and obeys the laws and regulations that applied. The government and the indigenous people of Papua should have a dividend every year. That is what we are still discussing. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia's economy was corrected by 0.2% due to smoke problems caused by forest and land fires in 2015. At the National Coordination Meeting on Preventing Forest and Land Fires in 2016 at the State Palace, the president said the facts showed that smoke from forest and land fires had created an extraordinary impact on the economies in the regions. He added that all elements in the regions must act while having a backup from the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, to prevent and control forest and land fires. President Joko Widodo said he has discussed with the military commander and the police chief about the implementation of a reward and punishment system. All parties concerned with handling forest and land fires attended the meeting. Indonesia is set to allow foreigners to wholly own cold storage businesses, sugar factories, and rubber manufacturing companies in an attempt to attract more foreign investment, a senior official said on Monday. Frankie Sibarani, the chairman of Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, said that foreigners would be able to own 100% of cold storage businesses across Indonesia. Under current regulations, the foreign ownership in the sector is capped at 38% in Sumatra, Java, and Bali, and at 67% in any other region. In the meeting, the government also decided to allow foreigners to own sugar and rubber manufacturing companies as long as they are willing to take up 30% raw material supply from local farmers. The warehouse business itself is also subject to liberalization, Frankie said, but the government has yet to decide the level of foreign ownership that would be allowed. The relevant ministries are now discussing a foreign ownership level of between 33% to 67% for that sector. President Joko Widodo has set an end January deadline for his administration to come up with the first negative list revision. Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid his last respects to Panji Hilmansyah, Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti's son, who passed away in Naples, Florida, the United States, on Sunday. President Joko Widodo personally conveyed his deepest condolences to Minister Susi at the Widya Chandra Ministerial Residential Complex at 9 a.m. local time. Earlier, Coordinating Minister for Human and Cultural Development Affairs Puan Maharani, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli, and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung had also paid their last respects. The remains of Hilmansyah are being repatriated to Indonesia and will be buried in his hometown in Pangandaran, West Java. The Indonesian Consul General in Houston, the United States, communicated with the local authority to repatriate the body of Hilmansyah. According to the minister's private secretary Fika Fauzia, Panji is the oldest brother of Nadine Kaiser and Alfie Safir. He graduated from a flight school in the United States and worked as a pilot. According to Panji's LinkedIn social media account, he also officiated as chief inspector in Susi Air, an airline founded by Pujastuti. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Initially, there were 9 candidates or delegates from 9 factions of Regional People's Representative DPRD of Medan going through the selection process. Of the 9 candidates, 5 will be assigned as members of the Honorary Council of Medan Parliament for 2016 period. But at the internal plenary meeting, Deputy Speaker of the Medan Parliament, Ikhwan Ritonga, as chairman of the meeting, said the 4 candidates of BKD members have resigned.
Proses pemilihan tidak dilanjutkan karena ada musyawarah dan mufakat.
The election process was discontinued because deliberation and consensus have been agreed that there were 4 candidates who resigned. They were Robby Barus from PDIP, Suryanto from Gerindra, Hari Zulkarnain M. Sidari from Demokrat, and Ibnu Ubaid from PAN faction. Moreover, Ikhwan Ritonga pointed out that by the resignation of the 4 candidates, the establishment of the members of BKD were carried without going through the process of selecting members of the honorary board. The 5 BKD members for 2016 period, inaugurated by internal plenary meeting, are Ilham Shah from Golkar, Muhammad Nasir from PKS, Abdul Rani from PPP, Bangkit Sitepu from Hanura and Maruli, Tua Tarigan from National United Fraction. The determination BKD personnel was approved by all members of Medan Parliament. Volcanic ash released during the Mount Bromo eruption has been affecting a wider area of agricultural land in Probolinggo District, East Java Province, local authorities pointed out on Monday. Head of Agricultural Office of Probolinggo, Mahbub Zunaidi, said that agricultural lands affected by the ash spewed from the volcano has grown from a depth of 1,360 to 2,604 per hectare. The volcanic ash, which previously only affected potatoes and cabbage plants, has also come in contact with other vegetables such as corn, tomato, and mustard cabbage. Zunaidi noted that the agricultural lands affected by volcanic ash are located in 3 sub-districts, namely Sukapura, Sumber, and Lumbang. In Sukapura sub-district, volcanic ash has damaged potato plantations, cabbage farm, mustard cabbage plants, tomato and corn fields. Meanwhile, in Sumbara sub-district, potato fields and cabbage plants were damaged. The impact of the eruption to the local agriculture sector has caused a hike in vegetable prices in the region. The last item. Indonesia's foreign debts grew 3.2% year-on-year in November 2015, including 45.24% in public debts and the rest in debts of the private sector. Communications Executive Director of Bank Indonesia, Tirta Segara, said that the growth was higher than 2.5% in October, driven mainly by faster growth of 6.1% of long-term debts. The short-term debts of the private sector grew in November, grew 3.4% year-on-year, higher than a growth rate of 2.5% in the previous month, driven mainly by debts of non-bank debts, and the public debts rose 2.9%, faster than 2.6% in the previous month. The sectors of finance, manufacturing industry, mining, utilities accounted for 75.9% of the debts of the private sector in November 2015. Increase was recorded in all sectors excepting debts in the mining sector that contracted from the previous month. Bank Indonesia described the increase in debts in November as quite healthy, but economic risk requires greater prudence. The central bank would continue to watch the progress in the country's foreign debts, especially those of the private sector. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Energy and Mineral Resource Department, ESDM, of Papua fined with Freeport Indonesia CEO resignation. Economy corrected due to smoke from forest land fires. That was the news. Welcome to our commentary entitled The Shahid Seekers. It feels a bit strange that there are people who would die in vain, terrorize others, and do some bombing only because it is considered a sure way to go to heaven. It is a new style of understanding. These people are so keen on going to heaven by way of suicide bombings in the name of religion too. Whereas others generally perform religious rituals devoutly and live their life by doing good and maintaining relationships with others, they must also want to go to heaven. In Islam, there are jihad and shahid, or martyrdom, that roughly translated means to fight in the way of religion and willing to die for it, with heaven as the reward. Surely, this should not be interpreted narrowly. To do jihad by being a suicide bomber, for some people, can be said as the easiest thing to do to go to heaven. But have they ever thought that the action is damaging to others? Something not justified by any religion because of its effect. Not only on the target, but the people around who do not know anything. It would be naive if some narrow-minded people or group claim that they are the most religious, the kindest people, and deserve to go to heaven. This way of thinking may result in destroying those who are not of the same belief with them without any guilty feeling. The recent tragedy of suicide bombing on Jalan Tamrin, Jakarta, is the depiction of some shahid or martyrdom seekers who wanted to go to heaven easily. It is indeed a very strange yet dangerous way of thinking, because the goal is not clear and to be achieved by a wrong way. Are the casualties the intended target? What have they done? One thing that must be remembered by everyone, especially the heaven seekers through jihad and martyrdom, their allegedly good cause must be achieved through a good way too. Heaven cannot be reached by creating hell for others, the innocent victims and their families. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with events that occurred on January the 19, 1946, the establishment of International Military Tribunal for the Far East. After the Second World War ended in 1945, the Potsdam Declaration stipulates that all war criminals and those who have committed atrocities to the Allied prisoners of war will be punished. Related to this, the International Military Tribunal for the Far East, more commonly called the Tokyo District Court, was established on January 19, 1946. In order to assess the Japanese officials who committed war crimes during World War II in Asia-Pacific. In this international court, Japanese officials were pronounced guilty of atrocities against civilians and prisoners of war and consequently were brought to justice to account for their actions. The military trial lasted for more than 2 years, indicting 28 high-ranking officials of Japan and 7 were executed, including former Japanese Prime Minister Hideki Tojo. Next is January 19, 1966. Indira Gandhi was sworn in as the third Indian Prime Minister. In 1959, Indira Gandhi was elected as President of the Indian National Congress. After the death of Jawaharlal Nehru, who is also her father, Indira Gandhi decided to follow the election and eventually elected. Then she served in the Ministry of Information and Broadcast under the government of Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri. At that time, the ruling party in India was the National Congress Party. After Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri died on January 11, 1966, India's ruling Congress Party then appointed Indira Gandhi to replace him as Prime Minister and was sworn in on January 19, 1966. Indira Gandhi was the first woman in the history of India who served as Prime Minister after gaining independence from Britain in 1947. Let's end with January 19, 1997. Yasser Arafat returns to Hebron after more than 30 years to celebrate the handover of West Bank city area after controlled by Israel. For the sake of building the Palestine Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat was willing to leave moving from one country to another, such as in Jordan, Lebanon, and Tunisia. After 30 years of sedentary life in these countries, finally, on January 19, 1997, Yasser Arafat returned to Hebron. Tens of thousands of Palestinians greeted him as a hero, and the entire city of Hebron was decorated with Palestinian flags and pictures of Yasser Arafat as the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization. When delivering his speech, Arafat pledged to continue working towards the next target of Palestine, regaining the control of the rest of the occupied West Bank and establishing an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's Focus theme is The National Industry Performance is Not Disturbed. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The terror on Jalan Muhammad Tamrin or Tamrin Road, Jakarta on Thursday, January the 14th, did not affect the performance of the national industrial sector. Although trading activity was slightly bothered, it was only temporary. The national industrial production process is running as usual and there are no reports of production activity being disturbed. Industry Minister Saleh Hussein in Jakarta is optimistic industry growth this year will not be bothered by the bombing incident. In this regard, the Ministry of Industry will create cross-ministerial and intersectoral coordination so that 5.7 to 6.1% industrial growth can be met by the end of 2016. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin Indonesia, Rosan Ruslani, appreciates the good coordination between government agencies in the search for the terrorist. Kadin is also offering its resources to minimize the impact and combat terrorism in Indonesia. He explained KADIN, or the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, has already communicated and coordinated directly with the police, military, and the state intelligence agency. This is a form of the active role of the business community in combating terrorism in Indonesia. As an umbrella organization for the entire businesses in Indonesia, there are tens of millions of people who are employees of the companies which are members of KADIN. This condition can be used to improve the flow of more structured information. The keyword is an active role, heightened alertness, and structured coordination. He asserted today KADIN is focusing on ensuring that the impact of terror on Jalan Muhammad Tamrin will not cause an economic decrease in the most sensitive sectors such as tourism, finance, stock market, hospitality, and airlines. The terror happened in Paris last month has made the world perception in response to the terrorism increasingly shifted. Related to that, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya said the terrorist bombing in Jakarta has no effect on the tourism sector. According to him, there is no cancellation of the visit to Jakarta, either from airlines, hotels, and travel agents. Minister Arif Yahya asserted Jakarta's situation has been restored and normal like usual. He also said the foreign trust also continued to recover as a proof cruise ship, the Seven Seas Voyager, will still arrive on schedule in Sabang, Aceh, on January the 21st. They will bring thousands of tourists. In addition, chartered flights of Garuda for the 2016 Lunar New Year holiday from 11 cities in the People's Republic of China is also on schedule. All 65 aircraft will remain transport more than 23,000 Chinese tourists to New Year holiday in Bali. It shows conclusively that Indonesia's condition is quite conducive and safe. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Tourism Industry Association of Indonesia, Didin Junaidi, added this time the atmosphere in Jakarta is back to normal. Therefore, he reminded all players in the tourism industry to let their partners abroad know that Indonesia's condition is safe. Well, that was focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers today on January 19, 2016. We start from Kompas on its headline, writes about the government looks for the right formula. The Indonesian government continues to search for the right formula in order to run an effective de-radicalization program. Vice President Yusuf Kalla to support improvements in the guidance system to prevent inmates' penitentiary terrorism cases to recruit new followers. However, Yusuf Kalla does not agree to a special prison for terrorists. It will only strengthen the new radical movements. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia in its headline writes about strengthening authority of Polri. Plans to revise Law No. 15/2003 on the eradication of terrorism increasingly to four, strengthening the authority of officials so that they can more quickly take action against perpetrators of terror became the main point in the revised plan. The importance to revise Terrorism Act surfaced after the terrorists returned to commit their action at Jalan Tamrin, Central Jakarta, Thursday, January 14, 2016. Today's headline of Republika is about Iran buys Airbuses once the embargo revoked. Iran clean up after economic sanctions on the country officially lifted on Saturday, January 16, 2016. In its final report, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, said Iran has fulfilled its obligations to cut its nuclear capacity. Iranian government believes the country is able to improve the economic conditions of the post-sanctions. Last headline from Business Indonesia. The Daily writes about warning toward contractors to manage projects. President Joko Widodo asked the contractors and managers to work on a contract well, both in time or quality. President also encouraged the signing contract of government project is done at the beginning of the year in order to boost economic growth as early as possible. Besides, the construction of massive infrastructure will also improve the competitiveness of nations, especially in the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Listener, that was the headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome to News in Brief. Head of Energy and Mineral Resources Department, ESDM, in Province of Papua, Bangun Manurung, said the resignation of Freeport Indonesia CEO Maruf Samsudin will not cause issues for the Papua government that has been striving to get ownership of Freeport share. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia's economy was corrected by 0.2% due to smoke problems caused by forest and land fires in 2015. Indonesia is set to allow foreigners to wholly own coal storage businesses, sugar factories, and rubber manufacturing companies in an attempt to attract more foreign investment, a senior official said Monday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid his last respects to Panji Hilmansyah, Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti's son, who passed away in Naples, Florida, the United States, on Sunday. President Joko Widodo personally conveyed his deepest condolences to Minister Susi at the Widya Chandra Ministerial Residential Complex at 9 a.m. local time. Initially, there were 9 candidates or delegates from 9 fractions of Regional People's Representatives DPRD of Medan, North Sumatra, going through the selection process. Of the 9 candidates, 5 will be assigned as members of the Honorary Council of Medan Parliament, BKD, for 2016 period. Volcanic ash released during the Mount Bromo eruption has been affecting a wider area of agricultural land in Probolinggo District, East Java Province, local authorities pointed out. Head of Agriculture Office of Probolinggo, Mahbub Zunaidi, said that agricultural lands affected by the ash spewed from the volcano has grown from a depth of 1,360 to 2,604 per hectare. Indonesia's foreign debts grew 3.2% year-on-year in November 2015, including 45.24% in public debts and the rest in debts of the private sector. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Gorontalo Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Gorontalo, using ABGCM approach concept to intensify tourism marketing. This concept is a blend of cooperation between academicians, business, government, community, and media. The concept is considered more rational to develop tourism in Gorontalo. as the world travelers crossing lines between Manado in North Sulawesi and Togian in Central Sulawesi, Gorontalo has a great potential to attract the attention of the world. Natural and cultural richness is the big capital of the tourism of the province. Talking about the potential of biodiversity, particularly marine biodiversity, the province is awarded with the rose of beautiful white sand beach, which also become a paradise for divers thanks to its geographical position, which is crossed by the equator. One of the beautiful beaches that you can enjoy in Gorontalo is Leato Beach. Leato Beach is located in Leato Village, Kota Selatan Subdistrict, only about 15 minutes from the center of Gorontalo. The distance of the town to the beach is only about 5 km. To get there, you can use private or public transportation. Public transportation can be accessed easily by cheap rates. With the simplicity access aided with Leato panoramic beauty and hospitality of its local population, making this beach is visited by many local and foreign tourists. Listener, Leato Beach has fine white sand with the waves that are relatively safe. You can play on the white sand or swimming comfortably in the blue sea. Here, you can see directly the daily activities of the fishermen to repair wooden boats by simple and traditional way. Underwater life in the beach is quite interesting. Beautiful corals and colorful fishes become the attraction for divers to dive here. Unfortunately, for diving, you are required to bring their own diving equipment. After you have finished to swimming and diving, do not immediately leaving the beach. You are better to wait until afternoon because views of the sunset on the beach is very beautiful. So, do not forget to preserve it with your camera. But unfortunately, there are not available lodging in the Leato tourism area. For those of you who want to spend the night, you can stay at various hotels in Gorontalo. In the beach area, there is also not available restaurants, so it is better you bring your own food supplies. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Leato Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is menjenguk teman di rumah sakit, or in English, visiting a friend in the hospital. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Menemani. Menemani in English, to accompany. Rumah sakit. Rumah sakit, hospital. Menengok teman. Menengok teman, to visit a friend. Sakit. Sakit, sick. Operasi. Operasi, operation or surgery. Usus buntu. Usus buntu, appendicitis. Demam. Demam, fever. Perut. Perut, stomach. Gawat darurat. Gawat darurat. Gawat darurat, emergency. Dokter. Dokter, doctor. Jakarta Barat. Jakarta Barat, West Jakarta. Pusat perbelanjaan. Pusat perbelanjaan, shopping center or mall. Tidak jauh. Tidak jauh, not far. Kamar. Kamar, room. 507. 507. 507. Lantai 5. Lantai 5, fifth floor. Jam besuk. Jam besuk, visiting hour. Jam 5. Jam 5, 5 p.m. Jam 7. Jam 7, 7 p.m. Antar. Antar, to accompany. Next is a conversation on menjenguk teman di rumah sakit, or in English, visiting a friend in hospital. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nancy and Nita at the office. Apakah kamu bisa menemani saya ke rumah sakit? Apakah kamu bisa menemani saya ke rumah sakit? In English, could you accompany me? Could you accompany to the hospital? Saya mau menengok teman. Saya mau menengok teman. I want to visit a friend. Di rumah sakit apa? In English, in what hospital? Teman kamu sakit apa? Teman kamu sakit apa? What's wrong with your friend? Teman saya dioperasi usus buntu. Teman saya dioperasi usus buntu. My friend had an appendicitis surgery. Mula-mula badannya demam. Mula-mula badannya demam. At first he had a fever. Perutnya sakit. Perutnya sakit. Her stomach ached. Kemudian dia dibawa ke gawat darurat rumah sakit. Kemudian dia dibawa ke gawat darurat rumah sakit. Then she was rushed to the hospital ER. Kata dokter, harus segera operasi. Kata dokter, harus segera operasi. Doctor said she had to have a surgery immediately. Dia dirawat di rumah sakit Royal Taruma, Jakarta Barat. Dia dirawat di rumah sakit Royal Taruma, Jakarta Barat. She was hospitalized at Royal Taruma Hospital, West Jakarta. Tidak jauh dari pusat perbelanjaan Central Park. Tidak jauh dari pusat perbelanjaan Central Park. Not far from Central Park Mall. Dia di kamar 507. Dia di kamar 507. She is on the room 507. Di lantai 5. Di lantai 5, on the fifth floor. Sore hari jam besuk dari jam 5 sampai jam 7. Sore hari jam besuk dari jam 5 sampai jam 7. Visiting hour in the afternoon or evening is from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Baiklah, saya antar kamu. Baiklah, saya antar kamu. Okay, I'll accompany you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Listener, in today's edition, I will introduce you to a senior singer, Ermi Kulit, which was present in Indonesian jazz music industry in the era of 70s. Listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Rela by Ermi Kulit. Happy listening.
Suratmu itu
Ermi Kulit, whose full name, Ermi Mariam Norjana Kulit, was born in Manado on May 13, 1955, and she is the Indonesian jazz singer. Ermi also dubbed as an Indonesian Selena Jones. The name of Ermi Kulit skyrocketed since she dedicated the songs Kasih and Pasrah, composed by Richard Kyoto. Since starting her career in 1973, Ermi has spawned a recorded more than 20 albums. Since childhood, Ermi has shown the talent to sing. But her new professional performance just started when she was at junior high school after Ermi frequently appeared solo on open stages or accompanied by some musical groups such as Meliska Band, Nada Yuda, The Logis, and The Nose Band in Manado and surrounding area. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kasih by Ermi Kulit. Enjoy the song.
Percayalah
love song, Kasih, which you've just listened, tells about the story of someone who always remembers her lover at night. He hopes his girlfriend presents closely to accompany him to eliminate loneliness that discerns themselves. It was the story of the song, entitled Kasih, sung by Ermi Kulit, who is also known by Indonesian music lovers with the nickname Lady of Jazz. After a long time she did not release the album, Ermi Kulit now back to enliven the Indonesian music world by releasing an album, Timeless Hit Seri E, which coincided with her 60th anniversary of birthday. The album Timeless Hits consisted of 13 songs. From the 13 songs, one new song is composed by a musician from Malang entitled Masih Ada Lagi. She brought 12 odd songs entitled Pasrah, Walau Dalam Mimpi, Pesona, Cerita Lama, Kayal dan Mimpi, Kunanti Kau Kasih, Candaria, Cinta, Cinta Kita, Senyumlah, and Kesan. With releasing the album, Ermi hoped it could treat homesickness of her fans from various parts of the country toward jazzy rhythmic songs. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Ermi Kulit entitled Hayal dan Mimpi and Senyumlah Kasih. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bayangan silih berganti menggoda diri ini. Biarkan saja semua itu berlalu. Kau tinggalkan diriku bersama nada syahdu. Rembulan pun tiada bersinar di malam itu. Mungkin ke semua yang harus aku alami. Tapi kini tinggal bayangan selolong anjing di mana jaga aku dari hayal dan mimpi, membuat diriku lesu tak berdaya. Mengapa harus terjadi kisah sedih di malam ini? Cobaan silih berganti menggoda kalbu ini. Biarkan saja semua ini berlalu. Menggoda kalbu ini, biarkan. biarkan saja semua ini berlalu. Berlalu semua ini berlalu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.